Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in this this method. Who would have thought that, yes, we do have uncertainty because of a pandemic, Lord, but you have given us the opportunity to use the technology that we have to just congregate together like this. So we thank you for that, Lord. Please bless our time together, and may this this moment in time may be sacred. May we take something and apply it for our daily lives, and just let your Holy Spirit abide in us as we listen. Thank you for everything. In your name we pray. Amen. Alrighty, guys. So I want us to look into the book of Exodus. If you have your Bibles or if you have your phones next to you, chapter 12, we're going to go right in, verses 31 through 39. Okay, so I'll give you a bit, but I'll be reading it. So yeah, Exodus 12, verses 31 through 39. And it says, "During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said and go. And also bless me.' The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise they said, 'We will all die.' So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, and also large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. With the dough the Israelites had brought from Egypt, they baked loaves of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have the time to prepare food for themselves." So I know it was a lot, but there's some points here that I just want to highlight tonight. So this is pretty much all after all the plagues had gone down in the land of Egypt. I hope we're all pretty much familiar with the story in scripture. Moses wants God's people to go, and Pharaoh is saying pretty much absolutely not, no way. But we know that in the story, Moses keeps persisting and Pharaoh keeps on saying no. And so when all is seen lost, we see God take over, and so many things happen and it shakes the whole land of Egypt up. And we know the story. God sends, he sends plagues. And then Pharaoh still keeps saying no. And we see that before this passage, there's this last one that pretty much sealed the deal on Pharaoh's decision on saying, take your people and leave. Verse 31 has Pharaoh telling Moses and Aaron that it was time for them to go. And in a weird way, he still asked for them for the blessing, as we see in that verse. This last plague that happened to him must have hit him really, really hard. It must have hit him to the core and caused him to realize that, yeah, everything had changed and that he even needed help, that he even couldn't provide himself as Pharaoh and as this leader of this grand land. We see that in verse 33, if we look back at it again, that the Egyptians, the people of Egypt, were also a little bit shocked, were also a little bit shook, and they were changed here, and they were also urgently wanting Moses and Israel to move on. They wanted them to leave. They realized that they did not only want the slaves there anymore, but perhaps they realized that they didn't even need the slaves there. They didn't need them to be slaves there anymore. They started getting ready to leave, and Moses even asked the people of Israel to ask the Egyptians for things like silver, for gold, for clothing, so that they can start their new life. And then the weird thing that we see here in this passage the weird thing, I think, to me, or maybe to people, to you that you are reading, is that the Egyptians were willing enough to say, here, take what you need, go and do what you need to do. And of course, we see that in the text, God was in the middle of this. He moved them to obviously be willing to give those items away. He moved their hearts to do so. And so the Israelites moved forward. This was a time where they were feeling extremely victorious, and they just were walking into the unknown, knowing that God was on their side. And so the text continues saying, when it came to Israel, that there was about 600,000 men, besides women and children, because they were, I guess, not counted in the mix. But just imagine every man having a family. I would say it was pretty much reaching a million, or maybe even more, of the people of Israel. But I want us to pay close attention to verse 38, and where it says, many people went with them, and also drove large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. Other people besides Israelites were also in the mix going with them. They weren't identified as Israelites, and nor they were identified as Egyptians, but they were just other people. Many people went with them. And so these other people were perhaps not on Moses' list. He was just aiming for the Israelites to just be free and let go. But for some reason, because of everything that happened in Egypt, and this last plague, this last event, they decided to tag along. They decided to go with them. And I want you guys to use your imagination. I believe that scripture, yes, we do have a lot of things written down, but there's so many lines in between that I believe there's room for us to picture and to imagine. Now, scripture here says that many could be thinking the same thing. Many people could be thinking the same thing in regards to why they left, or what was the reason why they left. We can imagine their reason. It could be one reason, it could be multiple reasons. Every person that was making this decision was different. We can wonder if they realized there was injustice going on. Perhaps they had lost their firstborn and perhaps wanted a fresh start. We can come up with different possibilities or different case scenarios on why they wanted to tag along with them. Or perhaps they were touched by God in order to move with his people. Or perhaps since they were seeing all of this going on, they were just wrapped up in fear. We don't really know exactly why they tagged along, but they tagged along. And I invite you guys to just picture yourselves, why, the reason why. We can say that the reality is that something happened in them, change happened to them and in them. They came out of those plagues and everything that was going on, they were not the same. They were not the same people as they were before. And so they left with the Israelites in this new journey. And so as we look at the previous verses, we even see that Pharaoh had a sudden change of heart. The Egyptians wanted the Israelites to leave while also giving the items they needed. And also many decided going with them. We already went through that. There was change going everywhere. Pharaoh wanted Moses and Aaron to bless them. The people were wanting to tag along. The people were giving the Israelites items. There was some change going on in every person, in every group there. There was change going on. There was something mysterious about it. And perhaps in some of the moments, as we can imagine, they could have been awkward, but it was life-changing overall. And the interesting thing is that everybody was given a choice on how to act after this had all happened, after all the plagues, after the last plague. They were all given a choice on how to react. Yes, we know that God was in the midst, but there was choice in the midst of it. They couldn't ignore what happened. And perhaps they were probably never going to forget these events that happened. And so they all made their choices. And the story continues, and we know how it goes. We know what's to come. Pharaoh lets them go, but then he kind of retracts. He kind of just says, what am I doing? Like, I need them back. And however, the Israelites still, they still make it through the power of God, through the leadership of Moses. They still make it fully out of Egypt. However, we know what's to come, but I want us to stay here in this moment. In this moment of the aftermath of Pharaoh being changed by this moment, by the Israelites claiming victory, by the Egyptians giving the items to the Israelites, moved by God, by those other people leaving with Israel to go to this new place, to this new land that they knew that this God that was leading them, that he was going to provide land for them too. And so overall, as we look at this passage, I want to ask you guys a question, and a question for myself too. I've been pondering on this as I was getting ready for this. Who will you be after all of this has happened? After this has all come to pass, who will you be? Who will we be collectively? We're going through so many things right now, and perhaps you've heard many other people mention, I don't even have to mention, because we're all going through some things collectively, and we're all going through some things individually, whether it's with yourself, with your family, with a personal relationship, or just trying to process everything that's going on in the world. Maybe you were directly affected by this this pandemic, through illness, perhaps from someone you know, a death perhaps, financial loss, or perhaps something else. Like I've mentioned, I don't know any of you personally, but I know for a fact that we all have dealt and are dealing with different kinds of problems, because that's the type of world that we live in. The reality is that even more now, there's this sense of lack of trust in the air. With the people that we hang out with or we talk to. And in the past few weeks, we've seen things shift because of the different scenarios we have now. Plague after plague, basically. Not God sent, but provided by sin, because we live in a sinful, sinful world. So who will you be? Who will we be after all of this has passed? After all of this, after what we experience, who will we be as people? I had to leave early, as I mentioned in the beginning, for those of you that were in the beginning of this Zoom call. I had to leave early from Andrews University because of all of this pandemic. That was in my plan. I think it was none of our plans to pretty much stop what we were doing and continue. I had to leave, come back home, be with my family after years of not living with them, just adapting to a certain lifestyle that I'm not used to. Because of this, everything changed. There's been anxiety that I've been dealing with, and I'm sure there's been anxiety all around for everything, especially the things that are going on this particular week. And it feels, I don't know about you guys, it feels like 2020 is just even getting more chaotic. I'm just gonna say it. But if we as believers, if we are believers of a kingdom that is eternal and that is coming and that it's already here, we have a faith that this too will pass, that this will be over, that there's going to be something better. And as humanity, we know that's going to happen, but as humanity, who are we going to be after this is all over? After that moment, going back to the passage, after that last plague, Egypt was left without slaves. Pharaoh lost his son and perhaps was losing power because of all of this sudden change and loss. The Israelites were now free, which is the victory part of the story. And I'm sure they felt triumphant, but also perhaps knew that a sacrifice was happening in the midst for them to finally get their freedom. And again, using my imagination as I read this, maybe many of them knew that their freedom was at a cost, and they thought that at this cost, I will live life differently because of it, and I will not take this freedom lightly. Perhaps the people of Egypt knew this moment in time also changed everything. They knew that the Hebrew slaves were now leaving. Many had lost someone, unfortunately, and they realized that things were now going to be different. Many of them decided to walk with them, to walk with the Israelites. Perhaps some scared in fear of God, which is not a good thing. However, I believe that as they furthered their walk with God, along with the Israelites, they were perhaps changed, and they realized that this God is a loving, benevolent God. So my question again to you, and as you ponder, who will you be after this has all happened? After all of this has come to pass, who will you be? Who will we be as a community? Because there's so many things going on in this world as we're processing, and it's normal as human beings to process all of this that's going on, but we can't stop there. When something breaks the normal, when something changes, will you be challenged, or will you challenge yourself? Who will you be is the question. And what will you do after all of this is all over? And just to clarify, I'm not saying that we won't have additional problems. We live in the reality is that we live in a world that's just gonna keep moving forward until kingdom comes. We see that in scripture, the Israelites were dealing with so many things after this. Throughout the Old Testament, we see the struggle, we see the pain, but they still dealt with the question, or I'm sure the question was asked, who were they as they were dealing this? And so again, the question, who will you be in order to face those upcoming problems after these things have ended? We live in a world in which life changes, we've seen. In the past few months, we've seen that life changes in an instant, and all those moments that provide stillness, these moments in which we need to reflect, how will we be changed for it? And so my prayer for you all, and for myself, is that we have these moments now to just, they're not in the normal, but they're moments in which we need to embrace, reflect, to pray, and see how can we be better for it, and how could we be changed for it. So that's my prayer for you all today. So I wanted to know if you have any questions, or if you have any other thing that you wanted to point out from this text. I know it's an unusual text because we talk about the plagues. We talk about the Red Sea and the victory afterwards, but this passage is very unusual because it's just in the stillness of change. It's a transition time. So I wanted to know if you have any questions or comments, whether in the chat or feel free to turn off your mic and just comment or your experience too. I feel like all of us are dealing with different transition times at this moment, but they're transitions nonetheless.
Okay, my question is, should we be afraid, or should we be excited that the Lord is finally going to be here? Like, I know, like in the story of Moses, like he wanted everyone to have their staff in hand to eat their food, like as soon as it was done and ready, and to wait for the order to leave the city. Mm-hmm. And then so like, I do understand that there is a lot of anxiety and fear going on.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not experiencing that personally. I'm like, finally, like the suffering's finally gonna be over. And like, we're finally gonna go to heaven. And we don't have to go to school. We don't have to worry about life. Like you look at the world around us and you see all the chaos and the rioting, and like, well, I'm finally going home.
Yeah.
And here's like, personally, I mean, like, Like, that's how I feel about, like, should I feel like that or should I have, like, fear and be like, oh, no, like,
here's the thing.
Even more to come.
Here's the thing. I completely see your perspective because there are some days where I'm just like, Jesus, whenever you're ready, like, I'm here for it. Like, we know these are signs. Like, if you need anything else to know that Jesus is coming, then, like, we're pretty much getting there. But I'm not saying, like, there's some people that will feel anxiety, but that's just the human body trying to express itself to stress. That's just who we are as humans. We feel this, we can't ignore what we're feeling inside or what our brain is trying to tell us, and how our brain or our bodies are reacting. But I feel like as people of faith, we have that advantage that, yeah, like, I may feel this way, but at the same time, I'm holding on to that faith that, yes, these are the times in which we are getting closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. But again, there needs to be this sense of, like, what is our priority? Are we going to look to these things going on, or are we going to keep, like, pretty much the top of the pyramid always needs to be Christ-centered. Christ always needs to be our center of focus.
Yeah.
Everything else, obviously, it's sad. We can't deny that the things that are going on are sad or are scary. But the reality is it's maintaining that balance where it's like, yeah, Jesus is coming. And that's a good thing. But at the same time, we need to mourn. If we've lost someone, we need to be feeling the feelings we need to feel with those people or for ourselves. So I don't know if that answers the question, but yeah. But I'm with you.
Because, like, my priority is, like, to save lives, because once Christ comes, I mean, it's the train has left the building. I mean,
right,
there's no more opportunity to be saved. And, like, that's always been my priority, is, like, even, like, anyone who's willing to talk about Christ, I always, like, try to give them the message. And that's always been my priority, like, during school. Like, my priority is take the word to Big Ben and then, like, get through my grades, like, pass my grades. And then, yep. Like, that's always been my priority.
Of course. Then go with God. Yeah. Is there anyone else? That was good. Any comments?
Great work, Sandra. Yeah, and just kind of to echo what has just been said, I think that, you know, we're walking in fear is not going to be productive as a Christian. I mean, he gives us a peace which passes all understanding. So, I mean, at this point in time where, you know, you see the signs of the times or the events we're in, you know, there's hope for us as believers in knowing in that we are closer to seeing him, but also there's that urgency as well. So it's almost like that, you know, occupy till he comes, but look for his return. So it's kind of one of those deals where, as we're here, long to see him, but also let that us longing to see him drive us, for lack of a better word, to see other people come to the faith that we have. So it's kind of one of those deals where let your longing for him, for lack of a better phrase, fuel you as you go and be your hope as you continue. So, I mean, that's what keeps me going.
Like, right.
The hope to see him keeps me in the fight, so to speak.
Right. Thank you for that. Again, we have this hope, and I feel like we constantly have to remind ourselves, because again, the world is chaotic. Even without all of this that's going on, we've known for a fact that this world is pretty chaotic. However, it's amplified even more now. And I feel that, yes, we do have this hope, but we need to be mindful with those people that don't know that they have a hope yet, and be able to be with them in that, yes, we're hearing you, and let me tell you about this God that's coming soon. This is not going to end this way. It's going to end, there's going to be a fantastic ending to this story. But yeah, I feel like we have the opportunity to be a blessing as we process everything that's going on. We have the opportunity to, once these occurrences that are over, we have the opportunity to be a blessing to people that are still processing. Yeah. I don't know how much time I have, but if there's anyone else, any comment, or we can move on to prayer request. If you have any prayer request, Feel free to put on the chat or just...
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say that the Bucket Brigade does not stop with the water before the fire truck arrives. They keep pouring water with their buckets until the firemen arrive. So we as the Bucket Brigade Brigadiers, we have to maintain that continuation until the captain arrives. We cannot, just because, you know, things are bad doesn't mean we need to ignore it. We know we're going to be judged by our actions with other people before that time comes. So we need to be occupiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you for saying that. It's good to know that.
I have a question.
Oh, yeah.
No, good, but go ahead and finish whatever you're going to say.
I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry.
During these riots, would it be a good idea to be joining in the riot team that's going on right now?
So, I think there's a big difference between rioting and protesting.
How should we be... Or, no, yeah, the protesting, yeah. That's what I meant to say. No, but... should we be joining in the protesting, like, at the moment? While all this is going down, like, how should we be handling this current dilemma that we're all facing right now?
I feel like right now there's so many ways to be active. It could be through protesting. It could be, this is just my opinion and this is the way I'm convicted. You can be convicted in some other way in regards to what's going on. I feel that we have the opportunity now to see, to be active in different ways. Like there's ways to donate to the different aids that are going on in regards to bail bonds that provide bail for minorities that can't afford bail. There is activism of just getting involved in regards to signing petitions. There are ways to get involved in regards to sending emails to the police departments. I know people that are just focusing on that or calling the police departments. And I know there's people that are fully convicted to going to the streets and doing that peacefully. I think that's the key word there. I personally don't see anything wrong with protesting injustices. People are not protesting something that's just random. This is something that we're seeing that's affecting not only the people that were in Minnesota, but it's gone worldwide. So I feel like it depends on how, on your conviction. If you feel God's calling you to stand in solidarity with going to the streets and doing it again, peacefully, it's all about doing peaceful things. One thing is that we can't associate the people that are looting and the people that are just protesting peacefully. I think that's the important thing for us to do. But again, I feel that We can't be turning our heads to that. Injustice is going, all around. God is coming, yes, but we are called to be His light in this world. And so how are we going to do that? I feel like every single one of us have to ask, how are we going to be that light in the world? Yes, we can tell people about Jesus, but there are so many people around that are hurt. Unfortunately, they will ignore the word Jesus, but they will see it. They will appreciate you protesting with them. And then you could be like, yes, I'm a Christian and I believe that this is unfair that your people or our people are being treated this way. And so I'm with you in the fight. And that's how sometimes people are attracted to the gospel, because gospel is action too. So again, it's how you're convicted as a person. That's all I have to say. I don't know. It's all up to the individual. Reading comments. Yeah, there are many ways to stand against injustice and to speak against the evil that has happened. Thank you, Matthew. Reggie, standing solid. Yeah, these are all good comments. Thank you for that. Again, we must not only be good, but do good around the world that is hurting. And so if we have this faith and we have this good to share, why not demonstrate it in the best way that we can? I saw this quote before I end, before we transition into prayer time, or if you have another question, feel free. I saw this post on Instagram where some people are on the streets protesting, again, peacefully. Some people are signing petitions. Some people are just getting educated because, again, not everybody's on the same page. And so they're having to educate themselves about the injustices or systematic racism and pretty much what's going on. They want to get informed. And that's also a way for you to be active as well. And I think there's something else that's mentioned. The whole point is that we're all driving in the same direction. We all might be in different lanes, but we're all driving the same path. And we want to do good for the people that are hurting. We want to be part of that change for the people that are hurting. And we want to be with them in solidarity. If you have any prayer requests, now is the time, or we'll just end in prayer.
I have one. I mentioned earlier I'm applying for Apartment Life for a position. It's a ministry that does ministry on apartment complexes, kind of as a form of outreach. So currently going through the process of doing that. Pray that I can actually figure out how to do this presentation right. I'm not the most experienced at putting presentations together, so pray for, you know, that I pick the right template and that for favor in the process and that that I get the position.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Anyone else before we move on?
I'd like to ask for prayer requests for the riots that are going on right now. And then for the Lord to give us wisdom and clarity on the situation and what we should be doing and how we can help improve the situation instead of just standing by or making it worse.
No, yeah, definitely. We definitely need a lot of prayer for that. And to know what to do, because again, it's just hard. It's hard for all of us, especially the people that are vividly dealing with this every single day. So how to be for those people. Okay. Reggie, okay. All right, we have three. Anyone else before we move on? Okay, so let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time where we gather and we just heard your word, Lord. We ask that at this time where we depart, that you may give us the wisdom and the guidance to just be moving forward in these uncertain times. We know that your kingdom is approaching, Lord. We feel it, we hear it, we see it all around. We know that you are near. But as you are coming near, Lord, help us be that light you are calling us to be here in this world. We know that this world is full of darkness. Give us your spirit. Give us that light that we need in order to know what to do in these times. Bless every person that's listening. Bless their personal request, Lord. You know every single person and what they're dealing with. Please bless Matthew with his presentation and his application, Lord. You know exactly how he's dealing with all the stress, Lord. May you give him the wisdom, give him the guidance to just be moving forward in regards to this, and may he be successful. May it be according to your will, Lord, but give him success in all that he does in regards to this presentation and his application, Lord. Bless Daniel and bless each of us, Lord, as we try to figure out what to do, Lord. Again, there are no there are no clear answers and for us right now. We're all trying to process everything. But we do know, Lord, is that people are hurting and that we see injustice around. And so we ask that you give us your divine wisdom to be with those people, to be part, because we know you're calling us to be a part, but just let us know how. Let us be part of the solution and not cause problems, Lord, because you are calling us to do good, Lord. Please bless Reggie's friend. Bless Reggie for him to be a guide and just be a light with his friend Kevin in regards to his life overall, Lord, and that he may know that he is saved, but just to recognize it, Lord. May he recognize the salvation that he has in you, Lord. May you, again, bless every single person here, and may you bless this ministry, Lord. May we remain connected even after this is all over, and may we be changed. May we be better for it in the light of your coming, and just keep us excited, keep us motivated, keep us just keep us with our lamps on, Lord. Again, thank you for everything. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.